Hello. Welcome to Basic Soft Skills. My name is Wayne Schultes. I work in the MQ Level 2 Support Organization as one of the managers there. I've given this presentation many times over, and I feel that basic soft skills is a very important skill, which is why I'm here today. So I want to take you through what we consider a fact-filled presentation. A lot of it is just common sense. A lot of it is a review of things that you already do as Level 2 programmers, as managers in Level 2, whoever might be listening. And the point of this is really just to give you a refresh of the thoughts and ideas that you can use when you get into situations with clients, either to improve that client experience and/or to get through some challenges that you might experience. As we all know, it's a challenging environment. It can be very challenging at times. So therefore, hopefully, this will help. We found that it has, and I hope you enjoy. We'll move on to page two. Soft skills mission. Everybody has a mission statement. We have one as well as far as soft skills. And really, the point of all of this is just to drive awareness for all of you for customer care and soft skills through looking at some of the key challenges that we have in remote support. As we all remember, for the most part, we deal with all of our clients very remotely, probably 99% of the time. So we are called remote customer support. And in this presentation as well, we're going to go through a couple scenarios or situations that you can get into, some of the more popular, even though there are hundreds, but there's just a few in this presentation. And hopefully, they'll translate to others as you see some of the things you can and cannot do and some of the autonomy you have as far as using your soft skills to get through different situations. So that's the second part of the mission statement. Obviously, just recommend some actions. And again, they're suggestions. They're not fact. You probably won't quote any of them, but it will give you an idea of the thought process that you can use in certain circumstances. Page three. We're going to go through some basics first. Why do we do soft skills? We'll talk a little bit about customer satisfaction, some customer feedback, and then we'll get into some of the scenarios and/or situations, if you will. Page four. Why do we do soft skills? Why are they important? Well, quite honestly, we live by satisfying our client, obviously, and customer satisfaction is a huge gauge in which we all work under in customer support. And to be honest with you, you all play a paramount role in keeping our clients satisfied, keeping them coming back to us, because obviously, we need customer loyalty or return business to stay in business. And obviously, our customers have high expectations of our support skills. And going all the way to the bottom, let's face it, soft skills really is a skill. It's the way you say things. It's the way you don't say things. It's the inflections you use. It's whatever it might be that will affect the customer engagement. Because again, being remote, anything we do and say, and it's typically short in that we're trying to get to a root cause, has a huge impact on our customers and how they perceive us. So one thing I do like to point out at this point, and this is a number that is typical per year, but basic support, first it was AIM, then middleware, and now who we all are in cloud and whoever else might be listening. But basic support typically drives about $263 million in total revenue. So therefore, our contribution is not trivial, and this is per year, to the IBM bottom line. So we are important. You are very important, and all of your skills you bring to the table do have a huge impact on our clients. Page five. Just a little statement, expectation, perception. And this is, a lot of experts believe this and have stated it, that 20% a piece of communication is verbal, 80% is nonverbal, meaning it's all the things you don't say might be done on a call or even in an email, because we do email quite often as well, are very recognizable, and being remote, they're magnified as well. And if you think about it, just a sigh, a moan, a moment of silence when there shouldn't be one, or if you put somebody on mute and then come off of mute real quickly and you tend to scurry to get back to the message, those are all perceived. I feel that way too when I deal with customer support. They're perceived in a negative manner. They can have a large effect on an engagement. They can have a large effect on a particular call or the email you're writing or even the response we're going to receive from a customer. Page six, please. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about customer sat. We actually gauge our customer sat by what we call NSI or Net Satisfaction Index. Typically, when a customer fills out a survey, which are randomly sent to customers, not just SEV1s, PMRs, they're all severities, all customer, and even customers outside of the U.S., will fill out a survey, and very often, the engagement itself during the process of a PMR will have a large impact on how the client feels in the end. There's several categories in a survey, and I think you're all familiar with them or have seen, probably seen one anyway. We call them GMIS at this point, which stands for Global Metric Information System, so they're GMIS surveys. And it goes all the way from the ease of opening a PMR through how remote support did. Obviously, that's a huge part. That's you all, and that's us. And if you really look at it, the point I really like to make on this chart is, if you look at the responses that can be given, if every customer was satisfied, and that sounds pretty good in words, but even if they were all satisfied, our NSI rating would only be 75. And as we all know, our targets are always way higher than 75. So it's very important that we shoot for and strive for very satisfied in every instance. Therefore, the importance, again, of soft skills mixed with, of course, your technical skills and everything else. So if you really roll this all up, the total of all the surveys, how we measure sustained performance in regards to customer satisfaction, it's just absolutely true. It's one measurement, but it's a pretty large measurement because if our clients are not satisfied, things don't go well. Page 7, a couple reminders, and these are right. These come right out of surveys, and I'm sure you've heard this before from your manager, your team lead, or just directly from a client themselves. The good things that they say about us, we're knowledgeable, we call them back, we resolve the problem very quickly, we are very helpful, we explained what we were doing, again, communication, and we stayed on the phone. And I'm gonna say phone quite a bit through this presentation because I really have a strong feeling about picking up the phone, but we'll get more into that later. They love the fact that we were patient because it's not always the case. Our customer has every skill that we require, so we have to talk them through quite a few things in many occasions. And obviously they love to see all of their issues resolved before closure. So all the good stuff. So page 8, please. So what are they saying about us that really needs improvement? And these come directly from surveys as well. As you'll see, it's all the same points, but on the negative side, right? They didn't call me, they only emailed me. Gave me a link without an explanation. They didn't have the knowledge to solve my problem. That is not always the case that you didn't have the skill. It may be in how it was explained and or the lack of explanation. It took too long to resolve and et cetera, et cetera. So as you can see, the areas our customers think we need to improve are exactly the areas that they love, but if we don't do them well, then we don't receive a very good, or we have a less than positive survey on our hands. Moving on to page 9, moments of truth. As you can see, and it's true, and I think you all, if you reflect on this, you'll see any moment or action can be very small. It could be anything. It could be an email versus a call, a silence on the phone, your tone of voice at a moment, because let's face it, we can get a little irritated at times, and these types of interactions do cause such, to say, reactions from both sides. A little sigh, anything, just a small little sign can actually change or drive a customer towards being less than satisfied, and obviously can affect the customer's continued loyalty. So that's the whole point of this, just a little thought. And we'll move on to page 10, please. Okay, challenges. These are the scenarios I mentioned. We're going to take you through a couple things just to give you an idea of how they might be handled. Again, the hope is that you'll build on these and or even though you know it already, you'll find it a decent review of the things you can and cannot say, or shouldn't say. I shouldn't say cannot, because we can say anything, but it may end up not going well. And the other point of this is to let you know that all of us have the autonomy to take control of a client situation. Now, our environment's changing, obviously. We're brought into situations where we're wanted on bridge calls more often. We're getting into problems that are larger than a single issue. It might be a performance issue. There's so many things happening today, and we have to respond to them, and we have to do the best we can to keep the client experience very positive. So that's why we're going to take you through these, just talk about them a little bit, and give you a couple of suggestions. And again, I'll say again, these are just suggestions, so you'll have to decide when and if you can use or say certain things. Obviously, we all have to. But anyway, hopefully these will just give you some thoughts. Page 11, please. Okay, collaboration between teams. We picked this one because it's very important, and our clients see it, and they actually reflect it in their surveys. When they do not see a great handoff, a warm transfer between teams, let's say it's between WebSphere and MQ Series or any product you name that has a relationship and the PMR has to transfer, it's paramount that these transfers happen very warmly with the customer involved, with the customer being explained. So the whole point of this is you really want to refer to the contact reference file and follow it and get to the right people and do it so that the person receiving the PMR or who will eventually receive the PMR understands why, so they have then been warmly transferred to, so they understand the issue. So there's nothing worse than a client getting on the phone with another programmer and finding out that they know nothing about the problem whatsoever. And we see that again and again in both our escalation calls, our surveys, and I'm sure you do as well when you receive things, especially on the weekend when you're the duty programmer. It's not a nice situation. So a warm transfer, that's the whole point of this. Remember all of this. Go through the contact reference file. Find the right person. If you have to, bring them on the phone with you along with the client. That's a real big step. It makes the customer realize, wow, they truly are going to transfer this properly and they're going to understand it. And it doesn't take that much time. It helps you in the long run as well, because obviously if the PMR goes well at that point, it's going to go well moving forward and everybody will have a true understanding. So again, explain the issue to the receiving team, agree on the next action, and make sure your customer understands what is going on. Page 12, please. Another big problem that we have, and this is again picking up the phone. I'm a huge proponent of people just picking up the phone at any time things appear awkward, things are not going as well as they could, or if it's just obvious that a customer's frustrated or you're even frustrated with the communication that is other than phone. Now, this is referring to a PMR, of course, it's English equals yes, but it can be any country code as long as English equals yes, meaning that they do have the English skills to communicate with you other than the written word. So why would you call versus email? You know, obviously a PMR will state, this is my preferred method of contact, email. But if you look at these, they're just common sense, right? Need for clarification of the problem. Explanation of a doc request. Very often, you know, put in a million lines of doc requests, but sometimes it's just smart to talk to the client so they can understand how, in fact, to implement that doc, setting up for that doc request. And then the reasons are just simply common sense as well, right? You can identify the tone of the client's voice, so you know the temperature of them at that point, meaning their overall mood, where they're standing as far as being satisfied. It's very hard to determine that through an email unless, of course, they put in all capital letters in red with a exclamation point at the end, but that doesn't happen that often. But they can still be mad in the background or upset. And there's a greater chance of preventing unnecessary escalations, which all of us appreciate, because obviously when a client's frustrated, they will call. And those of us who are managers get calls all the time. You guys who are non-managers and the true programmers in all of this, you get escalations, so we all understand it. So, again, it goes a long way. And it's proven that it goes a long way in improving the client experience and your experience. Page 13, please. Now, a lot of people, believe it or not, fear in the fact that they're afraid, but they don't know what to say to a client when they're going to call them, when they've been emailing with them all along, and when the email is the preferred method of contact as specified in the PMR. So that hesitation is something we hope to remove in the fact that you make the call, and if the customer is not happy, okay, so be it. You go back to email, right? But the problem is, if it's very obvious that you really need to speak to the customer because they're not understanding something, they're not quite following what you need them to do, and there's a request over and over and over for doc, whatever it might be, just pick up the phone. And even if they do not want to be called, you can even, and below, you can see simple words, right? Things you would use to somebody, even a family member, whatever. Just, I see that you stated your preferred contact methods email, but I thought I'd take a chance, and so on. So the whole point is you want to convey to them you're giving them the best option as far as explaining a situation, explaining what you need, and hopefully explaining the next steps to get to the resolution of an issue. So again, all of this is common sense, but the main message in these two last slides are pick up the phone. Don't be afraid to. Don't hesitate to. Don't follow a preferred method of contact, if you feel a phone call is the right thing to do. But at the very least, when you see that things are going south, meaning not well, pick up the phone. It goes a long, long way. Page 14, please. Okay, angry client. We all see these. I see them every day. You guys see them every day. And this is kind of a simplified version of what they might say, and maybe even sanitize a little bit. But you get a client that says, I worked with Eric all last night. We have a person on our team named Eric who works second shift. And very often in the morning is, you know, the client wants to continue working with Eric. So that's the same as this, right? I wanted to work with Jeff. Why can't I have his direct number? He's the fourth person I've had to talk to, because let's face it, when we follow the sun, a lot of people are going to handle the PMR if the PMR is one where contact is frequent. So this is simple, but the whole point is you don't want to be sarcastic at all. You don't want to blow them off. You don't want to just say, okay, fine, wait for Jeff. I'm not even going to pay attention to you. Say, oh, we're all on the same team. It doesn't matter who you talk to. Yeah, you feel that way. That's a true answer, but that's not one the client's going to enjoy, nor is it going to result in anything positive. You want to say something like, well, Jeff sits next to me. I absorb his brain power anyway. You can talk to me. Being sarcastic, that's the whole point. That's not going to get us anywhere. It's fun to say yes, but it's probably not going to result in anything positive. So the whole point is just do what you would do, not to other than a client, to a family member, a friend, whatever it might be. Just say, I'm sorry, Jeff's not available at the moment. Would you mind if I try to help you? Or would you rather have Jeff call you back? The whole point is you gave them two options in that one little statement. One is, I'll help you because I'm as qualified as Jeff, because otherwise I wouldn't be talking to you. Number two, if you don't want to work with me, that's fine. You can wait till, you know, noon or whatever the time might be that Jeff comes in. So the great thing is you just mitigated an entire situation. You gave the customer the choice of either working on the problem now or not. So, again, you can apply this to many different situations. And this is a simple one, but nonetheless, it just gives you an idea of how you can put a couple messages into one statement, have it sound very respectful, but in the reality, you're saying the same thing as you might have said sarcastically, but you just said it with respect and the proper soft skills. Page 15, please. Less than confident customer closure. We've all seen these at the end of a PMR where a PMR has gone round and round, and it's possible the phone was never picked up. Again, I'm going to talk about the phone a little bit. And we'll see in the end where you're kind of surprised the PMR is closing. They'll say, okay, go ahead and just close the PMR, or I guess you can close it. And at that point, you know the customer is not satisfied. They didn't really want to close the PMR. They probably closed it out of frustration, or you know, they're just tired of going round and round with a particular issue. They're up and running enough, in quotes, that they're okay, but they're not totally happy. What do? Many people close the PMR, and you understand why. We have volume. We have a lot of clients coming in. We have a lot of PMRs being open. And, you know, closing a PMR when a customer says, go ahead and close it, that's okay. That is a marginal response in many people's opinion, because we know this customer is going to, if they're surveyed, they're not going to give us a positive survey. It's going to be less than positive. We're going to have to do root cause as to why. And it's going to come back anyways. Why didn't you just call them back? So the whole point is call them. Give them a call and say, look, I see you want the PMR closed. Ask them if everything was resolved to their satisfaction. The key in this is you're using soft skills and you're making them admit one of two things. Yeah, I'm totally sad. You know, you're taking care of everything. That's great. And or they're going to say, well, no, I still had like three other questions, but I think we can just let it go. And offer to them at that point, we can keep it open for a little while, or we can open a new PMR with your further questions if they're not related to this particular PMR. But the whole point is you want to make sure they're truly good with closing the PMR. And you want to continue to work with them. You don't even have to continue to work with them. You can open a PMR on their behalf, or if they open it by themselves, typically that's what we want. Then, you know, somebody else can certainly pick that PMR up and finish up the other actions if they're unrelated, or you can just work it in the current PMR if, in fact, the further questions or whatever they might have on their mind are related to the issue that the PMR was open for. This goes a long way. It's like an extra call in your mind at closure. It's like, wow, I can close it, but maybe I should call. But it's a great action. It goes a long way. So we encourage that as part of soft skills to just look for those little cues that maybe one more step will help. And that's the whole point. Page 16. This is about web section. It's assist on site, WebEx, whatever you might be using. Obviously, people fear these sessions, and I understand it completely, because you're throwing yourself into a customer's system, their environment, and then they're in many cases, they're begging you to do it or wanting you to do it. But you're to make sure, we all fear, I believe, being held on to a web session way beyond what we were really there for, in getting to the resolution of a particular issue, whether it might be a configuration issue or collecting some doc the customer's having trouble getting. And it's very often the customer will want us to hang on and help them through everything, right? More environments set up, more tuning. So what do you do? And this applies to everything. This applies to conference calls, which are very common now, bridge calls, if you want to call them that. I used to have a section, or we had a section in this particular presentation about bridge calls and attending them, but at this point in time, it's a very sensitive issue because it's very common that a SEV1 PMR is going to include a bridge call, and we have to attend them. It's kind of a fact of life, but you can apply some of this logic to that as far as setting expectations. So here you have a customer requesting a screen share, but you fear the customer will give you, will have you going way beyond the issue at hand. You know, when I put in it's a kind of exaggeration reconfiguring an entire server, but you never know. They might be asking to do that. It's simple. It's common sense. Before the session starts, set the expectation with the customer. You have that autonomy. You have that right to control a PMR and the actions in it. Obviously, we have to do it while being sensitive to the client need and expectation. But again, you have that ability through soft skill, and you have that autonomy. So you really just have to set that expectation. Say, okay, the intent of this session is to observe firsthand the problem as it is occurring. Now, that might be just one thing that you're looking for, but that's, if you state that, this is what I'm here for at this point, or I'm here to help you collect these particular logs. I just want to make sure you understand that. Then I'm going to take them back, you know, do some investigation, then get back to you in a follow-up situation. The same thing can happen with a conference call. Want you on a bridge call, then it's explained, well, we really just want you to sit here because while we're doing this, we want to have all hands on deck. Well, there's nothing wrong with attempting to say or at least convey that I'll sit on the call for a little while, but if I'm not needed, I will let you know how you can contact me and I'll be back immediately. I can attend as soon as you find an issue with my product or you have a question for me. Doesn't always work. And there are some circumstances that you will not want to say it because you know that everybody's going to explode. But it gives you that option or that thought process that you can at least, if you feel that the opening is there, take the opening. So that's a conference call thing. That's a little aside. But again, the same logic that applies to this particular subject, which is WebEx or AOS. So anyway, use your common sense, but do realize you have that ability and autonomy to at least try to set expectations. Page 17, please. Another thing we get into a lot these days are performance issues that are huge. We get into them very often with some of our larger clients, myself. This year has been full of them. And it's very obvious that in many of the cases, the customer would really benefit from a services engagement, meaning they need a whole environment health check. Somebody needs to be on site to just help them understand their environment, understand their application, try to find the most expedient ways to allow their communications to happen, whatever it might be. That's not what support does, although many of our clients do believe that is what we do, and obviously many IBMers do as well. So what I like to do, at least, and we want to make this part of the presentation, there is a time and place to recommend a services engagement. And so how do you begin that conversation, right? Because as we all know, services engagements are fee-based, meaning the customer has to pay for it. Now, there are many ways to handle that, but that's handled by the account team or whatever else as far as how it's paid for. Nonetheless, to broach the subject, and a lot of this comes from services managers who talk to clients all the time, if you want to bring it up yourself. Now, here's the caveat in all this. You can have your manager do it as well, meaning broach the subject, because we do have certain products, do have certain processes in place to actually engage lab services. They may have contacts in the lab services, managers there or whatever. But the whole point is, if you feel that you want to bring this up and you think it's time to a particular client and or even an IBM or in the background, just explain to them the best way to proceed from this point forward is to involve lab services. Yes, it's fee-based, but that is our next best step, and we can arrange that through the account team. And then if they ask why and why would you be doing this, you can just tell them, you know, they offer a wide variety of activities. They specialize in performance health checks, performance and tuning, application design reviews, network and system architecture reviews. They have the skill to come on site and do that. And quite honestly, if the logic is seen, the reality is such a health check, such a visit from a services team, which it might be 1 or 2 days, will actually result in a lot less cycles being burned and PMRs working with support on issue by issue by issue. And the service team will then, of course, carry on and go further. And again, it all depends on how they're engaged. So this is the important thing here. I don't know how everyone who's listening to this will engage services. In MQ, we send a simple form letter to a manager in services, and it's handled from there. Nonetheless, ask your manager, ask your team lead how you engage services from your product perspective. But again, understand the reasons why you might want to do it, which is Charter is hopefully trying to explain. And also, just a couple of things you can say, that again, the second bullet. Hopefully this is helpful. Again, it's one of those areas that all depends on the product, all depends on your process. So before you do it, ask. Okay, page 18. And a couple closing things. We'll talk a little bit about words. Some of the things our clients like to hear. A little reminder about social media use and the things we have to consider. And then we'll have a conclusion. Page 19, please. The written word. As we all know, we've talked about before, if you don't pick up the phone, we are writing. And we're writing emails to clients. And obviously we're writing PMR updates. It's the use of the written word, very important. And that communication as well can be filled with incorrect nuances, incorrect verbiage, incorrect almost tone, if you will, if done improperly. So again, it's even as it applies to the written word, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. So be careful what you write. I've seen many PMR updates that we've had to have removed where somebody would put in something like "this idiot" blank and really didn't mean it because they probably got it out of an email. But you can, and that's a big exaggeration. I don't see that often. But there's also very often a negative tone, like the client does not understand this. We need to make, you know, and I wish they would understand what we're asking for. And we can't have stuff like that in there. And we get it from our level three teams. We get it from everywhere. And those of us who deal with seeing it and you as well see it and have them removed, I have them removed as quickly as possible myself. But again, they're in there, and our clients can read our PMRs, and it's very probable that they've seen that update even before it was removed. So that's the whole point. Our customers can read our updates. So really just clearly state in a PMR, clearly state the next action, when it'll occur, and who will own that action. Bottom line, common sense. Use great judgment when you're writing your updates, and keep in mind our IBM business conduct guidelines. You don't want to give away stuff either. You don't want to pre-announce anything. You don't want to, that's just as bad as saying something negative to a client. So just always remember, if you're in doubt, ask, can I say this or can I not say this? Because very often clients will ask us, what's coming down the pike in the future? We can't give away too much. There's certain stuff we can say, but there are a lot of things we're not supposed to say. So you have to be cognizant of that as well. And then read everything you type before you send it. I do this even at times when I'm sending an email that's probably not as positive as it could be. I'll actually shelve it for an hour, come back to it, make sure it's not too horrid before I send it. And obviously you can't do that in every case with a PMR update or an email to a client, but at least rewrite it. Even if you misspell words, it just conveys a message to a client like, wow, that's interesting. And we all do it. It's human error, but just take a look at it. Make sure you spell check, send it, but make sure the message itself is purely professional and something you would like to receive if you're working with somebody in a support situation. Page 20, please. Okay, the things our clients like to hear. And I like this chart because it's so simple. Because it's really stuff you like to hear as well, or I like to hear. When I call a bank or I call anyone, I'm working with customer support, I really think it's proper and it's a good thing because it sets things off on the right tone for just simple things like a proper salutation, you know, saying hello and you know, Mr. or Mrs. and Ms., whoever it might be, and use their name if you know it. Don't just say, you know, hello, Mr. Customer, Miss Customer, Ms. Customer. Say their name and use it as if you know them. That goes a long way with our clients. It goes a long way with me when somebody talks to me that way once we get to that point of our engagement. And they love to hear the words, I can help. Even if you know you can't help them immediately, it's not even you, it's not your product, it's always, I can help, because really the rest of the statement in your mind is, I can help get you to the right place, but they just love to hear, I can help, instead of like, ooh boy, this is not the right area, or you know, anything like that can send it in a negative direction. I'm sorry that happened. I trip over the sorry part, but the reality is you're not saying, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm apologizing for IBM or myself. You're just saying, well, I'm sorry that happened to you, but let's move on. And that's the whole point. Acknowledge that something may not have gone well. If that is the case, they express something didn't go well. And then just immediately move on. But the fact that you're acknowledging something did happen, that's a good thing. It makes them feel like, okay, they care. And then obviously common please and thank you. That goes a long way, especially, you know, thank you for returning your return business with us. Thank you for opening this PMR and making us aware of your situation. Just little things like that. It all depends on you, your personality, and how you do it. But these are just, again, things that are important. Page 21, please. A couple don't say, do says. These are kind of a follow-on of the last chart. But if you in reality, when I hear somebody say, I don't know, I can't stand it, especially when I'm on a call and I'm talking to a customer support team, I'd rather have somebody say, I'll find out, or I can get you that answer. The next one, you've been miscued. That's been said a lot, and that's brought up a lot in our surveys that, oh, you know, I immediately was told that I had to go to another team. Even though they got me there, I had to hear those words. But the best, so obviously the best thing, better thing to say is, I'll get you to the team that can help. Simple as that. So you don't even use the word miscued. The next one, we don't handle that here. Well, yeah, you don't, but did you really have to say it that way? You can actually just say, I'm going to get you a team of experts in this area. That's it. You don't have to say you're in the wrong area. You're not saying they're in the wrong area. So you're not even saying it's going to be recued. You're just saying, I'm going to get you to that team of the right team of experts. And don't ever say, I can't do that, in my opinion. Rather than that, just say, here's some options. Meaning, now I can't personally help you with performance, but here are some options, and bang, bang, bang. You know, they might be even all the way to, I'm going to recommend a services engagement. But the whole point is, rather than open that up with, I can't do that, I think the option statement is much better as from a soft skills perspective. And the next to last one, I can't help you since your version is unsupported. Surveys are peppered with that particular complaint, just hearing those words. Even though they are unsupported and they need an ESC, extended support contract, it's the way you say it. So the whole point in this is a nicer way to say it, a little longer, but it's nicer, and it does get the message across. It's just, I see you're on this version, which is no longer supported. Our options are for you to, and it's either request service extension, whatever it might be. And then I'm new to this team. Nobody really wants to hear that somebody doesn't know what they're doing, and that message conveys, you might be new, and you're picking up a PMR of this type for the first time, but no, you don't have to say it, or if you don't really understand the particular issue, you really just, by common sense, just say, well, I'm not the expert in this area, but I know who is and will engage them. So you didn't, therefore, rate your skill in front of the customer. You didn't make the customer feel they got a underskilled person. You just let them know that you're going to help them get to the right area. So, again, just common sense. In my opinion, strong suggestions just to help you with any situation. Just think for a minute, use better words, even if you might be frustrated, take a breath, and use some of the things that will, in fact, soften and even enhance your client experience and your experience, actually. Page 22, please. Social media. We've included this slide because social media is very prevalent now in all of our engagements and all of our PMR processes, from you know, from chats to blogs to, you know, putting things out on YouTube, whatever it might be. And the whole point of this is look at the bottom of this chart and see the link that has been provided, because you really want to pay attention to all of the guidelines around social media. It's much like our business conduct guidelines. We have to follow certain things. We have to make sure we're being legal, if you will, in everything that we do. So take some time, ask questions, and again, when in doubt, always ask. Ask your team lead, your manager. You might even have to ask IBM legal if it's a situation nobody's sure of, but your manager and team lead can help you with that. But again, there's the link. If you want to look at the guidelines, they're pretty wide open. There's not a lot of things you can and can't do, but again, take a look at them before you do anything, or particularly if you're about to do something that you're not sure of. And again, all part of soft skills. It may not seem it, but the point is you want to do it correctly and you want to communicate it communicate something correctly. Page 23, in conclusion. So I'll start with our customers. They are why we're here. They can be retained through your skills, actions, and soft skills and the way you handle them. And obviously, we rely on retention and repeat business. Without it, we wouldn't be in business. So our customers, and the bottom line is they do want to work with us, but they have other options. We've heard it, and I hear it a lot. If this solution is not the one that's going to work quicker than this other solution by whoever it might be, let's say Tomcat or whatever the thing that's being said to me or to you, the whole point is they do have other options for their actual solution. So we really need to retain them. We need to support them. We need to make them want to come back to us. And now we'll move on to you. You are our most important asset. That is the absolute truth. Anyone who does this job support are highly skilled, have a huge impact on our client experience, and as you could see in way earlier slide, a very large impact on our revenue bottom line. So don't ever feel that this isn't one of the most important jobs in the world. I believe it is. It's one of the ones where you're standing there right in front of the customer. It takes a lot of fortitude and a lot of skill and a lot of personality to do this and stand up and do it day in, day out. Your work is much appreciated, and you are appreciated for sure. You have the ability and autonomy to drive a customer loyalty and repeat business. Remember that. You do have autonomy. You can bring things back under control using the right words and bringing a client situation that's going sideways back on track, all by your words and your skills. So use them, think them through. You're all obviously very good at what you do because you're here. But again, just a reminder on how you might, in each engagement, improve it just a slight bit. You play an important role in helping IBM drive profitable revenue growth. Obviously, we covered that, and it's definitely not trivial. And you're essential to our succeeding, improving our client experience through your support you provide. As I said earlier, your work is paramount to our success. And with that, I appreciate everything you do. If you have any questions at all, my name is Wayne Scholtes. That's Scholtes. Feel free to reach out to me via any of the means that you feel, right down to give me the same time. If you have any questions about any of this content or any suggestions or points you want to make, I'm always wide open to listen. So I wish you all well, and thank you for listening.